We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
You know it's a good church when you get the mic at 9:15 to preach. And you started at 7, so it's 2 hours and 15 minutes into the service. You know we're having a good night. Amen? Amen. How many of you are enjoying this week? Okay, what about the rest of you? It's your first night? First night here? Who's been here every night? Come on, look at these radical River Rochester people. This is awesome. This is awesome. How many is your first night, your very first night? It's okay. I'm not mad at you. Okay, welcome. Welcome. Awesome. Awesome. It's going to be, it is a great night. It's hard because it's like, what else are we going to do right now? Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Glory to God. Well, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful church, all of these precious people, Lord, these great pastors. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being here and sharing your word, Lord. Thank you for all that you're doing here in Rochester at this church, Lord, through these wonderful people. I thank you that you're pouring out your anointing. Lord, I thank you for refreshing us. Thank you for reviving us, Lord. Thank you for strengthening us, Lord. Thank you for putting a vision on the inside of us, Lord. I thank you for putting a cry in our hearts for your presence and for your purpose and your call in our lives, Lord. And I thank you for the effects of this week, Lord, to be far-reaching. I thank you will not just stay with what is happening this week, but I thank you, Lord, lives are being touched and lives are being changed and people are encountering you, Lord, for a transformation in their life that will have effect on the rest of their lives, Lord. I believe that with all of my heart. I thank you, Lord, we're not here to just play religious games, Lord. We're here, Lord, to see a whole region shaken by your power. And I thank you, Lord, you're preparing each and every one of us to see it happen, Lord. I thank you for burning a cry in every heart, Lord, to fulfill the purpose and plan that you have for them, Lord. I thank you for pouring in your anointing. I thank you for pouring in your fire. I thank you for pouring in the new wine, Lord, preparing us, Lord, for the great things you have for each and every one. I thank you, Lord, for stirring every heart, Lord, for that vision and that purpose you have for them. In the mighty name of Jesus, if you believe it, say amen. 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 I want to just share with you a message the Lord gave me back in January, and I shared it at our, we have a similar type of conference every year that we do. We call it Arise and Shine in the beginning of the year. But this year the theme was the glorious church. The glorious church, because I believe God is raising up a glorious church in these last days. And last night I spoke about it a little bit, about how the glory of God, the glory of the latter temple will be greater than the former temple. And that is obviously speaking about the body of Christ. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. All right, good. Still checking if you're still awake. We're the body of Christ. We're the temple of the living God. And he wants to fill his church with glory. Why? So that we can go shine in this world and so we can spread. The Bible talks about us spreading the aroma of Christ everywhere we go. Amen. The scent of Jesus Christ everywhere we go. And I believe, and I really see this, that God is filling Rochester with the scent of heaven. I thought I'd get a better amen on that. Come on. I believe God is filling Rochester with the scent of heaven. I believe God is raising up a church, a body of believers in this place to go around and shine with the glory of God, to be so filled up with life, to be so filled up with faith, to be so filled up with joy that everywhere you go, you're radiant with the glory of God. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, we've been done pretty early every night of the week, so it's okay to have a post-midnight night. And if some people just get tired, just close your eyes. We'll all think you're pressing into the Holy Ghost. Just lay on one of these benches, you know, find an open row and just lay down and just make groanings that no man can utter. Everybody will just think you're pressing in deep intercession. Amen. Very biblical. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. That he might present it, what? The body, the church. That he might present the church to himself, a glorious church. Can you say it with me? A glorious church. Say, I'm a part of the glorious church. I'm a part of the last day believers. I'm going to see the return of Christ. I'm going to see the greatest harvest of souls that we've ever seen before. Amen. God's got a call and he's got a plan and he's got a purpose for you. And he's chosen you to live in this last day and in this last hour to make an impact on your world. Amen. That's why he comes. That's why it's crucial to encounter God, because when you encounter God, God will start burning a vision on the inside of you to go out and do something for him. Amen. It's one thing to encounter him. It's another thing to walk it out. Amen. And I believe that in that walking out, we got to keep coming back for that encounter and keep coming back for that encounter. But I believe that God has a special plan and a special purpose for each and every one of us, young and old. Young and old. He is raising up a church that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Amen. Then if you would turn to Isaiah chapter 60. Last night we read a little bit out of Isaiah chapter 61, but tonight I want to grab the first three verses from Isaiah chapter 60. It says, arise and shine. Say it with me, shine. It's time to shine. Amen. It's time to shine. It's time for the church of God to shine. I'll get to that in a minute. But arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth. How many are seeing that? When you're watching the news, you see darkness cover the earth. I mean, I live in Europe. Every week we're getting reports of terrorist attacks, just now in London, right before that in Manchester, Paris, Brussels. When the attacks happened in Brussels last year, how many remember that? At the airport, about 30 people died that day. That was on a Tuesday. On Saturday, we took a team of believers from Amsterdam, from the River Amsterdam, and there was a team of believers from the River Paris. And we met each other in Brussels on the Saturday, right after the attacks. And we were right there on the square where it happened, where the attacks happened. And we went and we preached the gospel to hundreds of people, and 300 people gave their life to the Lord. And I was so excited because the devil tried to rob lives, and he took 30 lives. But we went in as Holy Ghost believers, Holy Ghost soul winners, shining with the glory of God. And you know what happened? 10 times as many people that had died got saved that day. Amen. And we were walking in that square, and there was military everywhere with fully armed, fully decked out. I mean, people living, walking around in fear, looking over their shoulder. When you would talk to them, they were like, what do you want from me? But we came with the love of God, and we were shining the light in the dark places. I mean, I believe that in this time that we're living in these last days, deep darkness will cover the earth. But in that deep darkness, the church of God, the real Holy Ghost church, that body of believers, that glorious church will rise up and will shine like never before. I mean, the Bible says where sin abounds, grace will much more abound. I believe where darkness is darker than ever before, light will shine more than ever before. Amen. If we dim the lights in this whole room and it's completely dark in here, you won't be able to see anything. But we turn one little light on over there, every eye will be looking at that one little light. Amen. That's you. That's me. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, I believe. Yeah, Matthew 5, 14, he said, you are the light of the world. Many times we think Jesus is the light of the world, but it's Jesus on the inside of us. He said, I am the light of the world, but he also said, you are the light of the world. He said, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. You're a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Say it with me. I cannot be hidden anymore. Long enough, the church has been waiting in a corner, in some kind of building, waiting for Jesus to come back. Kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. They're just sitting there waiting in a circle, sitting in, singing, swinging, and like shedding a few tears, passing around a box of Kleenex, everybody blowing each other's noses, and they're just waiting for Jesus to come back because we're living in such a deep, dark world. Oh, Lord, please save us from this world. He already has saved us from this world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world, but we're still in this world to make a difference in this world. Amen? We're not here to just sit and hide in a corner. We're here to shine with the glory of God. We're here to arise and to shine, for our light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. The Holy Ghost has come. 2,000 years ago, the heavens opened. The Holy Ghost was shed abroad in our hearts. The love of God was shed abroad in our hearts to go do something with it. Amen. Jesus said, greater works shall you do also. Greater works than these shall you do. This is not the time to sit around and just stare at your own belly button. I said it in Holland. This is not the time to look at your neighbor's belly button and just pick little cottons out of it. You know, like, that's what the church is doing. They're like, you know, if you go to the zoo, you see those monkeys and they're just like fleeing, like taking the fleas off of each other. That's what the church is doing. Oh, please pray for me. I'm going through a struggle. Go pray for someone else and your struggle will leave. Amen. It's like every week, Pastor, please pray for me. Pastor, I'm really good. And I'm the evangelist here. You know, like I'm on a mission, so I can say these things right now. At home, I have to be nicer because I'm the pastor and I can't complain about people coming for prayer, you know. But here I can, because it's not, the church is so in many ways, the Western church has become so weak and so measly and like so ridiculous. It's, and the devil's just beating the church up. And the church is just letting everything just run over it because we're supposed to walk in love. But walking in love doesn't mean that you just let the devil run over you. You're not the devil's boxing ball. Amen. You're not the punching bag of the devil that he just beats you up and you just let everything come. Yeah, I got sick, but I guess it's the will of the Lord. No, it's not. Read your Bible. Come on. Oh, I feel so sad today. I guess I'm not anointed. No, pray in the Holy Ghost. You'll feel great. Do you think on Monday night when I just got off the plane, I think I was up for 24 hours traveling. I mean, do you think I felt super anointed? Do you think I felt like, ooh, shakama? Not at all. Not, I felt like laying down and going to sleep, taking a shower. Come on. I was in a plane. Well, I'm not going to get into that. Jesus, help me. I'm not going to tell them. I'm going to offend someone if I do. So I didn't feel anointed at all. But the moment I just stood up here and the worship started, I started feeling the anointing rising. And you saw what happened. People were getting touched. People were getting changed. I'm here a few thousand miles away from my home and from my comfort zone. And I'm here, not here to just like, I got nothing else to do. I'm very busy over there. But I'm here on a mission. I'm here because God has called me. I'm here because I have something burning on the inside of me. I have a call. I have a purpose. I have a light. Just like the prophet said, there's a fire shut up in my bones and I cannot keep it in. Come on. But it's too long have we as a church, as believers, have we been sitting and watching some preacher perform and walk out his call and his plan and his purpose. But this is not the time for one person to do it all. This is not the time for two people to do it all. This is not the time for three people to do it all. This is the time that the whole body rises up and goes and walks into the plan of God. Amen. Amen. This is the time that the whole body is mobilized and activated, that they get serious with the time that we're living in, that they get serious with the call of God on their life, that they get serious with that treasure that you have in your earthen vessel. Instead of looking at someone else and placing all the responsibility on them, oh, Pastor Jeremiah, please get Rochester saved. And he's not going to do it. He's mighty anointed man of God, but the Bible says the fivefold ministry has been given to equip the body for the work of the ministry. Amen. To equip the saints. How many saints do I got here? I mean, Saint Sarah, right? Saint Sarah, Saint Julia, Saint Brian. Amen. We're a bunch of saints here. It's so easy to read about Peter and about James and John and Paul and say, man, those guys did awesome things, but they were special, and elevate them to some super special place, or the gospel according to Saint Mark, the gospel according to Saint Matthew. Well, what about Acts chapter 28? What about Acts chapter 29? That's the chapters that we are being that are being written right now. See, you got to make a decision for yourself. Long enough have I been reading history. Now it's time to see my life being used to write history. Amen. And as long as we're spectators and just waiting and watching for someone else to do it, then we're going to come and stand before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who came and left his heavenly throne. The Bible says in Philippians, he who was sitting next to God and did not find it robbery to be called equal with God. But he stripped himself of all of that, came to the earth, born in a manger, died on a cross, a sinner's death, lived a perfect sinless life, but died a sinner's death on a cross. He was obedient even unto death. For what? To fulfill his purpose and his plan, the call of God on his life. Every day he walked on earth and he said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I have no other ambition just to please my Father. This is what I do. What I see him do, that's what I do. That's what Jesus did. But he ran his race. Peter, he ran his race. He got crucified upside down at the end of his life. Paul, he ran his race. The Apostle John, he ran his race. But what about you and me right now? What about 2017? What about Rochester? Who's going to do it? Who's going to go reach him? Who's going to shine? Who's going to go and into the dark places where deep darkness is covering this region? And who's going to make a difference? Oh, Pastor Jeremiah, I'm really praying for you this week, hoping that the church will grow. It's not going to grow if you don't go. Amen. It's not going to grow if you don't go. Say, if I don't go, it's not going to grow. He's not going to make this church grow. He's here to equip you so you go out so you can make it grow. Amen. Because you're out there working a job. You're out there going to school. You're out there living in a neighborhood. Who's reaching those people? Does he have to go drive by your house, reach your neighborhood? Why? You got the call of God in your life. You got a treasure in your earthen vessel. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Come on. You got the word in you. You got the Holy Ghost in you. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Stir yourself up. Come on. Oh, Pastor Jeremiah, would you please pray? My mom is sick. She's in the hospital. You go pray. You lay your anointed hands on them and see them recover. Amen. It's time for the glorious church to arise. It's time for the body of Christ. See, the body of Christ is the greatest instrument on earth. It's the greatest, mightiest weapon on earth. The devil has tricked the body because he's just nullified the strength of the body because he's just said, oh, you're not good enough. God can't use you. You don't know enough. You're not ready yet. You're not anointed enough. You're not special enough. And he stripped the body of his strength because the strength of the body, if you look in Acts, read through Acts. What happened? They were daily coming together, daily breaking bread, going from house to house. Paul was in Ephesus. In 2 years' time, all of Asia was reached with the gospel. In 2 years, all of Asia. What are we doing? Oh, yeah, I'm watching my favorite television preacher on television. Waiting for another thing from God. I'm going to another conference. I'm going to another seminar. I'm going to another thing. When is it? When are you going? You've been going to those things for 15 years. When are you going to go reach someone? See, this should be a place where we come, encounter God, get so filled up that we overflow. That when we go out, we're just gushing out everywhere. We're just leaking out everywhere. And then next year, this conference comes again, and you just get filled up again, and you're just pouring out again. And then on Sunday you come and you just celebrate the harvest of souls. You celebrate all the testimonies of what God has done. You celebrate. You, instead of coming, Pastor Jeremiah, can you please pray? Not that you guys do that here. Or they just do that in Amsterdam. You know how Amsterdamers talk. Oh, will you please pray? Instead of doing that, now you come, Pastor Jeremiah, let me tell you all the great things that God has done on Monday. Let me tell you what he did on Tuesday. Oh my God, if I start telling you about Wednesday, Thursday, you're just going to leap out of your skin. See how the difference is? That's what the body of Christ is supposed to look like. Sunday should be a celebration. Sunday should be like, my God, we're coming in here charged up. So, see, many people, they always want more of God. More blessing, more anointing, more this, more that. But you really don't know what's on the inside of you until you start pouring it out. You really don't know. For me, I told them about that earlier today. When I got saved in 2006, in 2007 I went to Bible school here in Tampa. From Holland, went to Tampa to go to the Bible school, and but I just got saved. I did not know anything, you know. I'd been saved for 1 year. I'd learned a few things, but did not know much yet. So I came to the school, and then one day in school, it was like three quarters into the school year. I was sitting there in the class, and there's about 150 other students, and me and my brother, we came together, me and my older brother, the one that told me about Jesus. And we were sitting in class, like good students, taking notes, and the teacher that class, he asked, "Hey, all the students that feel called to the full-time ministry, raise your hand." And poof, all the hands went up. It's Bible school, my goodness. Of course you feel called to the ministry, except for me and my brother, we're just sitting there. Oh, I didn't know I was supposed to. So then he asked, "Who does not feel called to the full-time ministry?" And we're like, and he looked at us, "Oh, the Dutch boys, of course, the Dutch boys." But for me, I came to school, I did not know I was called. I just wanted to know more about Jesus. I just wanted to experience him more. I just wanted to learn more. I wanted to grow. And I wanted to win souls, because that's what I just wanted to learn. I wanted to win souls. That's all I wanted. So then I was starting to learn about how you can be used by God. Not because many times we've said, well, if you want to be used by God, you got to go into the full-time ministry. I mean, that's one of the ways to be used by God. You can be used by God in the business world. You can be used by God in politics. You can be used by God in education. I mean, you can be used by God raising kids. You can be used by God. You can be the most anointed mom on earth. You can be the most anointed engineer on earth, that God gives you creative ideas, that he gives you vision in the night. You can be the most anointed school teacher. You're laying hands on kids. I mean, you can be the most anointed whatever. God can use you wherever you are. And I thought, oh, well, I've done too much. I've sinned way too much. I've done all these crazy things. I did not grow up like saved like my wife did. You know, she was born an angel. It's ridiculous. I mean, she was born blood-bought and washed, you know. Like, I'm just kidding. She, too, had to make a decision. But she never really went into the world at all. But for me, I felt like, man, I just messed up way too much. God can't use me in the ministry. It's too holy. It's too special. I've disqualified myself big time, you know. How many ever felt disqualified? Like, God, if God can use anyone, it's not going to be me. So I didn't feel called at all. But I was like, well, maybe God can use me in business, because I had a business degree at University of Nijmegen in Holland. I was like, maybe God can use me in business and I can make money and then I can sponsor someone else who goes out and does the work of the ministry. And I was like, that's great. I'm happy with that. Just make as much money that I can and just pour it all in the gospel. Sounds great, right? Maybe not here. Maybe here? Someone? No? Okay. I thought it sounded great. I mean, and there's people anointed for business. God is anointing people also in these last days for business, to be anointed business people, to start businesses that are literally changing the world, that are literally giving jobs to thousands and thousands of people, that are literally like showing the glory of God through that business culture. Amen. I believe that. And that are literally funding that end time harvest with billions and billions of dollars. I believe that. God is looking for people to raise up. Maybe he can't find them here, but maybe in Amsterdam. I don't know. He's finding them in Amsterdam. We're seeing people raised up from obscurity, people that were on welfare, people that are in massive debt that are now being raised up. I mean, we're going to see it. I'm believing for many millionaires to be raised up. Why? We got to get the two streams together. You know, so we can't over-spiritualize things. Come on, people. We can't over-spiritualize things. God will anoint some people here in this place for business. Your business will just start taking off, start flourishing. The anointing makes all the difference. The anointing makes all the difference. That all of a sudden your business just accelerates to another level. That all of a sudden God just gives you an idea. Maybe he has already given you the idea. Maybe he gave you the idea 3 years back and you've just been pushing it away. Like, I can't do that. I'm not good enough at that. Just rely on the anointing. You can do a whole lot more than you think. I can't preach. Hello. I disqualified myself from preaching. I'm the most shy kid in my class. I'm the most shy one from my whole family. I was the last one to get saved. I did the craziest things. But still God called me and he anointed me, and his anointing qualifies me to preach. Amen. If I try to do it in my natural, I'll fall flat on my face. I've tried it. Trust me, it's embarrassing. But the anointing brings the results. And that same anointing will flow in the business. That same anointing will flow in education or in politics or whatever it is, wherever you find yourself. The point is that the body is mobilized. The body is activated. Then instead of being a spectator on Sunday and you come on Sunday and that's just your religious duty that you're performing every week, then instead of that, you're a participator. Just a participator in the kingdom of God. You're actively building the kingdom. If I would ask you today, how are you actively building the kingdom? Are you an active part of a church? Are you giving actively? And I'm not just talking about tithing. I'm like you are believing God for excess funds so you can push the kingdom of God forward. Are you serving in church? Are you an active member that the pastors know, man, I can build with these people? Are you winning souls? Are you laying hands on the sick? Are you casting out? When is the last time you shared your testimony with someone? Is there light coming out of you? Is the light shining from you? Or is it all hidden? You're the light of the world. City on a hill that cannot be hid. It's time to come out of hiding. It's time to arise and shine. The Bible speaks in Ephesians chapter 5 about, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead. Awake, O sleeping giant. Awake! That's what revival is. That was once alive, but now is dead, to bring back to life. Just like the prophet Ezekiel, he had the vision of the valley of the dry bones. And God asked him, son of man, can these bones live again? And he said, you know it, Lord. And he said, prophesy to the wind to come from the north, south, east, and west, and speak to these bones that they may live again. Maybe you've been dry and without any fruit, eternal fruit in your life as a Christian. But today I prophesy to you that the Spirit of God is coming on you in a new and a fresh way to bear much abundant and lasting fruit. That the next 5 years you'll bear more fruit than you did in the last 15, 20, 30 years. Can these bones live again? Yes, they can. Yes, they can. Because when the Spirit of God moves on you, when the Spirit of God starts blowing on that valley of dry bones, maybe your heart, then everything that was dead comes to life. Revival. This place is called the river. Why? That same prophet Ezekiel, he had another vision of a river flowing from the throne of God down into the valley, down into to the Dead Sea. And the river started ankle deep, then knee deep, hip deep, and then all the way in. And the Bible says that everywhere the river flowed, everything that was dead will come to life. That's a picture of this church. That's a picture of what will happen, not for this building, but for you as a church. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 7, Jesus said this, if any man is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. And he who believes in me, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. There's a river on the inside of you. And that river must start flowing. That river must start going to a dry and a weary place, to a dead sea, to a person's heart that is dead and dry and weary and hopeless. And when it starts flowing out of you, everything and everyone that you come in contact with will come to life. Amen. You say, but my family, they're so dead, they're so religious, they hate the gospel, they don't want to have anything to do with church. But when you come and that river starts flowing out of you, and that you're so full of that glory, you're shining with the light of heaven, what will happen? They'll start melting and melting and melting. See, you're not a thermometer, you're a thermostat. You know the difference. Thermometer reads the temperature of the room. A thermostat sets the temperature of the room. When you come in with that glory on the inside of you, when you walk into the room of your business or of your work and all your co-workers are a bunch of sinners, but you walk in there, the whole temperature of the room changes. And then you walk in there and the Bible says, every place that your soles or your foot shall tread, I've given it unto you. You walk in there, I claim this place for the kingdom of God. I thank you, Lord. I declare this holy ground. I thank you, Lord. this place belongs to you. I'm taking it for the gospel in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm a Holy Ghost agent of change. I'm here to see a change take place. God has placed me here. He has anointed me. He's appointed me. He's equipped me. I got His word on the inside of me. I got a treasure in my earthen vessel. Hallelujah. His presence abides in me, and I abide in Him, and I'm going to see this place change and turn around. See, the whole temperature of the room changes. We're like, Pastor Jeremiah, please pray. It's going so bad at work. My coworkers, they're persecuting me. They're making fun of me. Come on, rise up. Rise up. Stop being so weak and wimpy. Come on. This is a time to straighten your back, square your shoulders, pray in the Holy Ghost, load yourself, charge yourself up in faith, become a bold man of God, woman of God, anointed by God to make a change. Amen? You're not here to just pass by, go through life, and just make it to heaven. I just want to make it to heaven. If I could only make it. You're not here to just barely make it. You're not here to survive. You're here to bring revival everywhere you go. Amen? You're not here to just make it. You're here to make it with much eternal fruit. I see it like this. Have you ever, well, we've never seen it probably, but have you ever heard of a meteorite coming from outer space and coming with an ever-increasing velocity to the earth, and then there's that moment that it hits the earth, comes in contact with the earth? You can go there 20 years later after that thing hit the earth to the place where it hit the earth. And you can say, something made an impact here. The environment of this area changed because there was something that made a lasting impact. The Bible says this, that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We're far above all principalities and powers. But still, we're in this world. What are we? We're ambassadors of the kingdom of God. You're from outer space. You're an alien. Come on. You're from another planet. You're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And you've come here. You've been launched from the throne of God here to this earth like a Holy Ghost meteorite full of the fire of God to make an impact on this earth. So that 100 years from now, if Jesus tarries, people can come back to the place of where you lived and where you worked. And see, man, somebody made an impact here. Something made an impact. Something came in contact with this family. I believe God wants to sweep this whole area. Sweep this whole area with His goodness, with His love, with His presence, with salvation, with His joy and with His peace. But it's not going to... See, we can pray for revival for another 30 years. We can pray for God to save him. We can pray for God to make a change. But we must pray and then go. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's done everything He can do. But now He's placed you on this earth. What are you going to do? Pastor Rodney had that vision when he was 12 years old, that dream. He was sleeping, 12 years old, a dream of a mass amount of people just walking like a bunch of zombies, like a whole bunch of people walking. And they were walking, just oblivious of what was happening, walking down the road. And at the end of the road was this big cliff. And the people, they were about to come to the cliff, they started seeing all the people in front of me are falling down. They tried to move back, but they were pushed by the mass amount of people, pushed right over the cliff. And then there was the cross right there, and Jesus standing there. And as Pastor Ronnie was seeing all those people dying and going into that abyss, basically, he turned to Jesus, and Jesus smiled at him. And he said, Lord, how can you smile at such a time? What are you going to do about it? Who's going to tell these people? Aren't you going to tell them that they're dying, that they're lost, that they're falling over that cliff? And Jesus said, no, you must tell them. You must tell them. You must tell them. And Pastor Ronnie said, I will tell them. I will tell them. I will tell them. The Bible speaks in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 about a moment that we will all face after we pass on from this earth. The Bible says we will come and stand before the throne of God, and the altar of God will be there, and our life's work will be placed on that altar. And the Bible says that life's work will be either gold, silver, and precious stones, or it'd be wood, hay, and stubble. And the Bible says it's placed on the altar right there before the eyes of God and before the eyes of Jesus. And then the fire will come and test that work, the Bible says, if it may last. And if it's gold, silver, and precious stones, they will go enter in to the glory of God with treasure, eternal treasure. But if it was burned up, wood, hay, and stubble, then they will enter into heaven, but as through fire, empty-handed. Unfortunately, there will be many great, sweet, wonderful believers that will stand and go into heaven empty-handed, as through fire. Why? Because they lived their whole life for wood, hay, and stubble. They lived their whole life for the now. My comfort now. My wants and my desires now. My next vacation. My next car. My next house. My this, my that. Wood, hay, and stubble. Still get saved. Still go into heaven. But empty-handed. As through fire. But then there's those other people. Gold, silver, precious stones. They live this life on this earth. They said, we're not going to live for us. We're going to live for you, Lord. I'm going to live for the one who gave his all for me. I'm going to hold nothing back with every cell and every fiber of my being. I'm going to live for him. He held nothing back for me. I'm going to hold nothing back for him. If he calls me to preach, I'm going to preach with everything I got. If he calls me to do a business, then I'm going to work on that thing like with everything I got. If he calls me to be a school teacher, I'm going to be the best, most anointed school teacher. I'm going to give it my everything. If he calls me to go to Bible school, I'm going to do it with all my heart. Whatever you do it as unto the Lord with eternal fruit. Looking for people to... What's the eternal treasure? What's the only thing we can take into heaven with us? Souls. People. People. People are the currency of heaven. People are the riches of heaven. We can make God rich by reaching out. We can make God rich by reaching out. And then when we stand there, when we lived for eternity, instead of living for the now like everyone else is, living for eternity, having long-term mindset. See, this life on earth, it's so short in the light of eternity. Whatever sacrifice you might have to make now, whatever thing you might have to say no to now, whatever thing you might have to cut off now, it's totally worth it in the light of eternity. It might look for a little moment now that you might be missing out on a few things, but you're not missing out. God will repay in the life to come and in the life now. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek you, seek Him. God is ready to reward people. And I'm excited about the earthly rewards that come from fulfilling the call of God and walking in the covenant like Pastor Jeremiah was talking about. I'm excited about that. I'm thankful for that. But what I'm even much, much, much more thankful about and excited about is the eternal treasure that will be waiting for me on the other side. That's why I'm so excited about being here, about making an impact, making a lasting change. That's my only prayer and my only desire for this week, is that, Lord, do something eternal. Make an eternal impact. Use me, Lord, to do something in the lives of these people, to deposit something in them that will change them, that will transform them, that will change their eternal destiny. If you can pour anything out of me into these people, do it, Lord. If you can make any lasting impact, please do it, Lord. That's my only ambition for being here. Is to see your life changed so that you can bear much fruit for eternity. So that when I meet you in heaven, man, come on. Jesus. When I meet you in heaven, we'll both be rejoicing by the throne of Jesus. And we'll be looking in the eyes of the one who gave his all for us. Can you imagine the eyes of Jesus? Have you ever thought of that? It messes me up when I think about it. This is the moment I live for. I live for this moment that I stand before Him. The one who gave His life for me. The one who poured His blood for me. The one who left that throne in heaven to become very uncomfortable for me here on earth. Just so He can win me. Man, whatever price I have to pay on earth, it's nothing compared to leaving heaven. And there's coming that day that we stand before Him. And all I want is to have a bunch of people there, standing there with me, that have treasures, gold, silver, precious stones, that we can all together, all of us together, can just throw it at the feet of Jesus. I worship You, Lord. I worship You, Lord. I worship You with my life treasure. Everything I lived for, everything I did on the earth, every treasure I might have, I can come and bring and throw at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, thank You. Thank You. That's the moment I live for. Nothing else. That's the moment I live for. That's it. That's the moment. And whatever eternity might bring, that's great. But that's the moment I live for, that I come face to face with my Lord and my Savior. And I just pray that the church of God, the body of Christ, all over the world, wakes up and rises up. Arise and shine and starts shining and starts waking up for the eternal purposes of God. That we're not distracted and in like a daze. There's so many people in like this. Do you ever see that? Like, people are like a bunch of zombies sometimes. Like as if you're like drugged. Walking around life, really. I mean, if you think about it, for us in Holland, I don't know how it is here, but us in Holland, your life is programmed, man. It's like you get born, you go to kindergarten, you go to elementary school, high school, you go get a degree, you work 40 years for someone else, making an income, paying your taxes, and then at the end of that, you get your retirement thing, you live for a few more years, hopefully very, very short, that's what they think, very short, so we can get rid of you and save that money. And then your life is over. That's the whole plan of the spirit of this world, for you to just live and go, to just breathe, watch TV, go to a soccer game, go to a basketball game, whatever it is, you know, consume a bit, spend some money, make some money, buy a house, pay for that mortgage for the rest of your life, and then go on a couple nice vacations, take some pictures, and then that's it. It's a lie from the enemy that has crept into the church too. We come, I just want a comfortable seat. I want the best type of latte for the church, you know. Like, I want the church that serves the best lattes. Then I want a comfortable seat. I want a short service. And I don't want any messages that offend me, because then I'll go to the church down the road. And then I just come to church. I hand my tithe in. And then I worship God, sing a couple songs, listen to an encouraging message. And then I go home and I want life to just stay the way it is. I just want to be comfortable. Don't mess with me. Leave me alone. I want to just do my thing. I'm sorry, but that's not what Jesus died for. That is not what He went for on that cross for. That's not why He shed His blood for. That's not why they pulled out His beard. That's not why He just was led like a lamb to the slaughter without fighting back. He died to see a glorious church. He died so that He could see a glorious church without spot or blemish, holy and acceptable in His sight. That's what He died for. A church of power. A church like the book of Acts. A body of believers full of the Holy Ghost. People awake and alive for eternity. People living with eternity burned into their eyeballs. People waking up with the purpose of God in their heart. Lord, I thank You, I'm awake. I report for duty. Lord, I'm going to fulfill the plan that You have for me today. Whatever You want me to do today, use me, Lord. Or we're just like, And that's all great. And maybe you want to stay that way. But I think a lot of you don't. But the time is short now. There's a short window. There's a short window now. I believe the return of Christ is, of course, it's sooner than ever. It's closer than ever before. If 2,000 years ago he said, I'm coming back soon, then how much sooner is that now? Got to be ready. Full of oil. Eternal fruit. Working in the harvest. Labor in the field. Actively pursuing his plan and his purpose. This is the time. This is the most glorious time there's ever been in the history of the world. I mean, God is pouring out his spirit like never before. Because the glory of the latter house is greater than the former house. And he saved the best wine for last. He saved the best wine for last. The things we read about in the book of Acts is amazing. But God has saved even greater things for us. If we would only dare to believe, if we would only wake up, if we would only slap ourselves awake out of that spiritual coma that we've been in. Sometimes I come places and I just want to grab people. Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! Can't you see? Can't you see what God's calling you to do? Can't you see the greatness on the inside of you? Moses had this problem. I read it on Monday. Exodus chapter 3. God came and showed up to Moses. He said, I've seen the oppression of Egypt to my people. I've seen the oppression that my people go through. I've heard their cry, and I have come down. I've seen, I've heard, and I've come down. Do you think God stopped hearing? Do you think God stopped seeing? Do you think God stopped coming down? He came down by the Holy Ghost. And he's still here on this earth today. But Moses heard these words that he didn't like. We all love God coming down because we all want God to do it. It's like, awesome, God's here. That means I can just sit here and sing Kumbaya. No. He said, I've come down and I'm sending you. And Moses said, whoa, hold up, back up. You've seen, you've heard, you've come down. What do you need me for? You're here? Go ahead, Lord. You know much better than me how to do it. You know much better than me how to save Israel out of Egypt. But God said, I've come down and I'm sending you. I'm sending you. And that's what God's telling us tonight. I've come down. The power of God's touched you. You're experiencing his presence this week. But what you going to do with it? What you going to do with it? What you going to do with it? And if you don't make a real decision, like a heart decision and determination for yourself in this week, in this place, then you're probably not going to do it. So you got to decide this week. Lord, I'm going to fill your call for my life. I'm not going to live for me. I'm going to live for you. Wherever you have me go, whatever you have me do, whatever you have me say, how uncomfortable, how scary, how unqualified I might feel. It's not about how you feel. It's not what people say. Sometimes your family is the greatest discourager from fulfilling the call of God for your life. It's like, you? You're going to start a church in Amsterdam? You're going to see revival? Right. All of the other brothers except for you. I'm just kidding. My family believes in me. My uncle said this one time. My uncle's total heathen, so it doesn't matter what he says. But it's funny. It's funny because this is how the world thinks. He knows exactly what I'm doing, but he just wanted to poke at it, you know. So he asked me at a family barbecue, you know. He's like, so what do you do now? And he wanted me, when I was young, they were training me to take over the family business. So he's very disappointed I'm fulfilling the call of God for my life because he wanted me to take over his business. Anyways, he's like, so what do you do now? I'm like, I'm a pastor. He knew what I was doing. He knows what I do. I'm like, I'm a pastor. I started a church. And he looks at me, he's like, pah, Is it that bad with the economy? Economy that bad that you had to start a church, that you had to become? Is it like, really? I thought you had a business degree. I'm like, yeah, but this is the greatest thing on earth to do. I wouldn't want to do anything else because I'm in the center of the will of God for my life. You might be called to do a business. You might be happy doing that, working yourself into a flipping depression. You know, you have money in the bank, but you're not happy. Flipping is not a bad word, is it? No? Okay. Europeans don't know all the bad words in America. Sometimes they think bad words are actually... Never mind. Whatever. When I first came to Bible school, I said a few words that apparently were not appropriate. But as a European, you think that's all good because you watch the American television shows and they say all those words. And they don't bleep them out like they do here, you know? So we Europeans, we're totally ignorant for those things. So I got rebuked a couple times and then I learned. Praise God. God cleaned my European mouth. Hallelujah. Cleaned up my English. Gave me a new tongue. But it's time to arise and shine. Amen. It's time to arise and shine. How many feel challenged tonight to say, yes, I'm going to fulfill God. I'm going to find out what God calls me to do and I'm going to do it. And don't worry about all your feelings. Do you think I felt ready or qualified to start a church? Absolutely not. I still don't. I feel qualified now to maybe go to Bible school. Sit in the class like, praise God, I can just sit here. It's not about how you feel about it. It's about what God says. Moses said, I don't know how to speak. Please send someone else. You got the wrong person. God says, no, I made the mouth. I made the tongue. I know what I'm doing. Don't argue with it. Be like Mary. Mary said, here's the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me as you would be pleased. No? Just do whatever you want to do. And then she said to the servants at the wedding at Cana, whatever Jesus tells you to do, just do it. It's the best advice I can give you. Whatever he tells you to do, just do it. But I don't have the money. Just do it. But I don't know how. Just go do it. But I don't know when. Just go do it. Just do it. I'm not making commercials for Nike here, but it's okay. Just do it. Just go do it. Just get moving. Just start, okay, maybe I don't know what to do yet, but these people do. Maybe I need to just connect with their vision and lift up their hands and help build the kingdom of God here and just plug in with all of my heart and just pour out everything I got, and then God will start speaking to you before you know it. Some people need to, have you ever had that? People need a word. They come into church, God touches them, you know, totally life changed. You're like, oh, you want to plug in? You don't have a church? Plug in here. This is your family. Well, I got to pray about it. I need confirmation. I need God to speak to me. Hello? What do you need to pray about? Do you have another church? No. Then just come here and plug in here. This place has vision to see all of Rochester changed and transformed. But we need an army of believers to rise up. Amen. We need an army of believers, a bunch of radical people. If a bunch of radical Muslims can go and blow themselves up for nothing, then what can we do as radical believers? I mean, I don't want to be less radical than they. They don't even have anything real. We got the real thing. We got to at least be just as radical, but more really. We got the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. We got the Word of the living Word. We got Jesus interceding for us at the right hand of God. I mean, you're stacked up to do great things. The greater one lives on the inside of you. Some of you go flying out of here. Amen. You get so charged up tonight. You get so built up tonight that you're like, man, I can take the world. Hallelujah. Rochester's too small. We need some bigger, we need bigger vision. We need bigger things. Come on. Come on. What if God starts using this mega church to impact not only the region, but the whole state? What if locations, River Rochester, River Buffalo, River New York City, River whatever, just start springing up because people are just so on fire here. They just start going all over this place. Amen. I'm just saying, what if? What if you're like, no, that can't happen? Yes, it can happen if you rise to the occasion. What if, businesses just rise up out of this church that are funding the end time harvest, evangelists and missionaries, billions of dollars into world missions. Churches that go and are just planted, five-star everything. Is it possible? Absolutely is possible if we believe. Jesus said, only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. We said, no, not through me. God can do. Yes, He can. Yes, He can. You got to come to a point where you put every excuse aside. Because it's those excuses that keep you away from fulfilling that plan. I could have had 1,000 excuses. And I still have to die to every excuse of why I couldn't do what God calls me to do. Because it's so much bigger than I am. But if it's not bigger than what you could do, then it's not from God. You got to scratch it and find something bigger. One guy said this, and I'm closing out. One guy said this. He told his kid. He's like, kid, if you're going to draw something, because the kid wanted to draw something, then in your mind, at least imagine you're going to draw a tiger. And if you can't make the tiger happen, at least you will have a cat. But if you imagine starting to draw a cat, the best you can get is a cat. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see what he was telling his kid? It's like, think big, dream big, believe big, ask big. Jesus, God says it, Psalm 2, verse 8. He said, ask of me and I will give you nations. Ask of me and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance. He said in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, he said, ask of me and I will show you great and mighty things, things that you know not of. In 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 2, verse 9, it says, what eye hasn't seen and what ear hasn't heard, neither what has entered into the hearts of men. Those are the things that He has prepared for those who love Him. God's great things prepared for you. Things that are unseen, unheard, never known about, never heard of. Great things. Great things if we would only believe and tap into the Holy Ghost and press into God like never before. Come on, it's time to get real with the call of God. It's time to get real with the purpose of God. It's time to get real with the time that we are living in and rise to the occasion. Arise and shine, River Rochester. Arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.